This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. I'm Matthew.
And I'm Molly.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
Today, we are talking about pineapple.
Yes, suggested by listener Laura. Thank you, listener Laura.
Thank you.
As usual, like, I think we're going to be saying this every week from now until eternity, and unless we're doing something crazy. I can't believe it's taken us so long to get to pineapple.
This is episode number 391. Matthew, it's really, so this is going to air the end of June. This show is 9.5 years old as of this month.
That's so old that, like, that's long after a kid stops saying, I'm 9.5.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. June is still solidly at the, like, every quarter counts.
Nice.
So June is 6 3 quarters.
Nice.
Anyway, Matthew, before we begin, we wanted to talk about producer Abby has a new podcast.
Yes. So producer Abby has a new podcast that she's producing. She is the events coordinator at Book Larder, the community cookbook store in Seattle. And she is now producing the Book Larder podcast, which you can get wherever podcasts are sold. And the first episode has Ruth Reichel. The second episode, which I just listened to, it is Matt and Ted Lee talking about their new book about the catering industry. I knew nothing about the catering industry, and this was so fascinating. It's a great conversation with Warren Etheridge, who I think interviewed us once.
I think so. Right? Yeah, I think so.
So go listen to the Book Larder podcast. What are you doing here?
God, they've got, like, a real slam dunk opening lineup.
Yeah, they got
a
slunk.
Holy cow. Anyway, congratulations, producer Abby. You spread your talents around like seed.
Wow, don't ever say that again. I mean, I guess producer Abby could decide whether to keep that in the show or not.
Okay. Anyway, okay. So, Matthew, let's go down memory lane about pineapple.
Okay. My earliest memory of pineapple, I think, is drinking pineapple juice out of the little cans in elementary school.
Yes.
Like, it was a thing that we got with school lunch, and they were, I think, smaller than this can here today, maybe.
I remember.
Really small.
They were really, really small. And they had, like, a white tab on the top that covered, like a stretched out oval shaped.
Yep.
Opening.
And when you pulled it, like, it was sticky, and it would kind of stretch as you pulled it off.
Yes. Yes.
And it would leave behind on the pull tab itself, the part that went over the oval opening. And then you're just drinking kind of from this weird hole. And it's weird, like, how inferior that is to drinking from a flip top can.
Yeah, it's true. Like, it doesn't come out quite right out of that hole. Well, do you remember? I know.
Oh my
this,
God, but this tastes exactly the same.
This isn't the first time we've mentioned cans that you would open with a church key.
Right.
Do you remember? And I remember big cans of Dole pineapple juice.
Absolutely. They still sell that. I saw them in the store yesterday when I was buying this little can.
And I distinctly remember, like, watching a grown-up open it with a church key.
Yes.
And I don't know when this would have been, like, maybe at birthday parties. Or,
I mean, that's a party in a can right there.
Do you remember bowls of, I don't know when I would have ever encountered this, maybe at, like, I don't know, some weird party or something, like a key party.
Church key party.
Church key party. Anyway, like a big punch bowl with, like, a thing of orange sherbet.
I'm going
in
home
it.
With the deacon.
I'm going home with the organist. so proud of this. Oh, this was great.
All right.
All right.
Thank you for listening to our pineapple episode.
Okay. Anyway, do you remember like punch bowls in which someone would float like a big old like a half gallon of orange sherbet?
And then they would pour around it
like 7-Eleven
in a can.
They would pour around it 7-Up.
Yep.
I feel like I used to encounter like pineapple juice somewhere in this tableau.
That sounds right. I don't remember one way or the other, but it certainly would work.
Anyway, I remember the little cans of pineapple juice, and I don't remember my parents ever buying them. We always had like cranapple juice.
Oh yeah, we had cranapple also. I feel like cranberry. I was gonna say it was bigger when we were kids, but I mean cranberry juice is still very popular now. But it was like a real thing for your kids to drink was like cranapple.
Cranapple, yeah. I remember for some reason we didn't buy pineapple juice very often. It seemed like a really special thing.
I don't remember if we ever bought pineapple juice. I only remember having it at school. Or picnics, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the little can is a convenient picnic format.
God, I'm going to up my picnic game this summer pineapple juice.
I feel like now we're doing an ad for pineapple juice. Up your picnic game with pineapple juice.
Anyway, but what I was going to say is that I remember pineapple juice was so far superior to other juices when I was a kid. Like, it was just so much better. There's something about it. Like, it's the perfect blend of, like, tart and sweet. It is the most delicious juice.
But it has to be ice cold.
Yes.
Like warm pineapple juice is gross.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Oh, I would.
God, this is so delicious.
It's so good. I don't know. What was it? What can you even say?
Oh my God. That is just great. What else about memory lane?
Okay. So my other pineapple. Yeah. I just realized this show isn't going to be all about pineapple juice. So my other pineapple memory lane is in the early 2000s, I went on vacation to Thailand a couple of times. And one of the things I remember best was there are fruit vendors on the street, and they would have like a plexiglass cart kind of, so you could see what fruits are available and be like mango or pineapple, mm-hmm. or papaya. Mm-hmm. I would mostly get the pineapple, and it was like almost orange rather than yellow.
Mm.
And you could optionally have like a chili powder mix sprinkled on it with salt, which I would get. Wow, that was the best pineapple I've ever had.
I think that's a common like, you know, street food in tropical hot places.
So. Like, why wouldn't it be?
Right. I've had a similar situation in Oaxaca, maybe in Costa Rica. I can't remember.
Why not?
Seems logical. I remember my dad buying pineapples when I was a kid. So, you know, in addition to inventing Altoids.
Right.
And to being, didn't we call him also, wasn't he an endive man?
He was an endive man, yes. And was he also a pineapple magnate?
He was also a tropical fruit man.
Was he an organist? Okay, he was also a tropical fruit man.
Yeah, like I remember him eating, can I just have a little moment of feeling like nostalgic about my dad? So I remember, this is not.
You can have as much time as you want. I'm going to drink all this pineapple juice.
This is not totally related, but I think of my dad.
In that case, I'm cutting you off right here.
I think of my dad as buying like mango, papaya, pineapple, and melons. These were fruits that I think of my dad as buying.
Mm-hmm.
And I picture him, so he would go garage sailing on Saturday mornings.
And he would get a papaya, papaya.
No. And then he would come home and he would make himself like egg salad or something.
Okay.
And he would drink a beer out of this like specific glass that he poured it into. And then I think of him sitting at the kitchen table with like a big wedge of cantaloupe.
Sure.
Or a big wedge of papaya and a wedge of lime.
Nice.
And squeezing the lime over the melon or the papaya and eating it. Like, this is just, like, the dude had, like, really great style.
Yeah, now, that's interesting, because I think of cantaloupe probably because I grew up with it as being, like, you know, like a classic, you know, Midwestern dad with his cantaloupe kind of food. But papaya feels like a more sophisticated,
right?
Worldly choice.
Well, and I don't like papaya, but I always love, I picture my dad sitting there. I can just see like the sophistication of it. He would always also kind of scoop himself a bite that was too big. And then you would see him sort of like wrestling it into his mouth. And
yes.
Anyway, but.
so he wasn't super coordinated, but he sure loved fruit.
Rest in peace, Berg. But anyway, okay. So I remember also when mangoes came to Oklahoma grocery stores.
Yeah.
When, this was a big deal.
It was the Oklahoma mango rush.
Yeah. It has not yet been written about. Mm-hmm. But boy, I'm looking forward to researching it for my next book.
Okay.
Anyway, but I remember my dad coming home with mango, very excited about mango.
Yeah.
And then I also remember my dad bringing home pineapples and cutting them up like it was just like no big thing. I think a lot of us don't ever think to buy a pineapple and cut it up.
You're right. I never think I've done it once. I think this pineapple sitting on the table might be the second whole pineapple I've ever bought.
Well, I can picture my dad cutting up pineapple. It was just like a normal thing for him and putting it in, you know, in a Tupperware and it would be in the fridge. And I remember eating it for dessert sometimes.
Sure.
The other thing that I've always noticed about pineapple, and I forgot to write it on this this agenda, is the acidity of it sometimes burns the roof of my mouth.
Me too. Yeah, like, it's super acidic.
It's super acidic. I mean, I've gone through periods of time where I've kind of been like, I don't know if I can eat pineapple.
I wonder, actually, if it's not the acid, but the enzymes.
Is it meat tenderizing us?
No, except, well, it might be meat tenderizing us because, like, pineapple juice, I think, is pasteurized, so would not have live active enzymes in it. But fresh pineapple, yeah, like, you know.
Oh, God.
Pineapple ruins Jell-O because it has an enzyme that breaks down the
gelatin
and can be used as a meat tenderizer. Maybe we have been tenderizing our mouths.
Oh, my God. So maybe it's not just, like, a little, you know, benign, like, acid reaction.
Well,
maybe
I mean, I don't think it's like a serious medical problem.
But maybe I'm like, you know, injuring my tissues.
Or maybe you're just becoming more tender.
It's true. I am slowly becoming more tender in life, I think.
Pineapple is so juicy.
Oh my God, it's so good. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So, yeah.
Matthew.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're ready for this treatise that I've got here.
I've never been more ready.
All right. So pineapple is indigenous to South America.
Okay. That makes sense.
And nobody knows like exactly where in South America, but it's thought to originate like between southern Brazil and Paraguay.
Okay.
So, you know, around there. So as usual, it was interesting trying to research this because, you know, as usual, everything I found focused on like when white people found pineapple and made it like important,
yeah,
in quotes.
Sure.
Anyway, so I just want to acknowledge that bias here.
Yes. Thank you.
Columbus encountered it in 1493 on the island of Guadeloupe, and he brought it back to Spain, making it the first bromeliad to be introduced outside the New World.
Question.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask. Just answer the question I was about to ask. What is a bromeliad?
Oh, great. Do you want to answer it for us?
No, I don't know the answer.
Oh, well, it's
a... Is it a family of plants?
It's a family of plants.
Phylum
and,
of plants?
Oh, God, I don't
know. Plants don't have phylums. They have divisions.
I don't know what taxonomic level it is.
Sure.
But anyway, what I do remember, I have to say I didn't go far down that rabbit hole in my research. But
it's something higher than a family, I think.
Matthew, I've moved on from this. But anyway, what I was going to say is that, you know, air plants?
Vaguely.
They're plants that, that you know, don't root themselves into any soil or onto any substrate or whatever. They get everything they need through these special pores on
their leaves. I think sometimes when I'm walking down the street, I bump into them.
Air plants?
Like, well, I mean, because they just hang out in the air, right?
Well, yeah, but there aren't very many I've never seen them in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
I was in Austin recently.
I was kind of imagining a plant like on a cloud.
Matthew. God. Anyway, so I know that air plants are a type of bromeliad. If any of our listeners are like hipster plant owners and are into their air plants.
No, I don't think any of our listeners are hipster plant owners. Don't worry about it.
I think that, as I recall from my little bit of reading about bromeliads, I think they all produce leaves in like a rosette pattern.
Okay.
Which makes sense. You can see that on a pineapple.
I can. I'm looking at one right now.
Anyway, but
there's something about, like, I'm not joking here, like something about a pineapple that's like very relaxing to look at.
Is it because it like when you look at it, do you start hearing like steel drums in your head and do you imagine like
I think so. I think that's part of it.
A swimming
pool
and your sunscreen is already applied and
Thinking about the sunscreen was very specific, weirdly specific.
Well, because when I think about going to a beach or a pool, I'm like, oh God, but I have to put on sunscreen.
Right. Like when we've gone to the nude beach, like I had to put on so much sunscreen. It's the worst thing about the nude beach.
Okay. Anyway, so the Spanish then, you know, in all of their days of imperialism.
Oh, okay. That's what your means.
They introduced it to the Philippines, Hawaii, Zimbabwe, and Guam. And the Portuguese took the fruit from Brazil and introduced it into India in the 1550s.
All right.
Anyway, Europe.
I assume the pineapple was welcomed everywhere it showed up.
I think the Europeans not so much. Anyway, Europeans were like into pineapple to a almost obscene degree.
That makes sense.
Pineapple is the fruit of colonialism, basically.
Okay.
Okay, in the way that it spread and also, like, how it symbolized, like, power for these people.
And probably bananas also, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think there are a lot of things that are the thing of colonialism.
Yes.
Anyway, Europeans built special things that they called pineapple stoves, or like these special hothouses to be able to grow them in Europe.
And did that work?
Yes. They started doing this like in the 1600s. And here's a quote from Wikipedia. Because of the expense of import and the enormous cost in equipment and labor required to grow them in a temperate climate, like in Europe, using hothouses called pineries, pineapples soon became a symbol of wealth.
Pineries.
So here,
I showed up to the banquet in all my pinery.
Well, at the banquet, you might have found pineapples on display just as a show of wealth.
Oh, and they would like how I have this pineapple on display on my table.
Exactly. But if you were in Europe like 400 or 500 years ago, you would have continually used the same pineapple over and over until it started to rot.
What is wrong with people?
I know.
I'm going to try and drop this like smoothly into conversation, but I this pineapple is not on sale. I paid a full $3.99 for it.
Wow,
and
Matthew.
I'm going to display it here indefinitely.
Great. Okay. By the second half of the 1700s, pineapple production on British estates was a subject of rivalry between wealthy aristocrats who clearly had nothing better to worry about.
Oh, like who has the bigger pineapple hothouse?
Yeah, I mean, like, forget about all those, like, serfs who are starving and stuff and, like, revolts. Like, no.
So this was like before
the most pineapples?
Before they had cars. So, like,
if you wanted to compensate for
something, you had to get a pineapple factory.
You know, I would say that, like, BMWs or Teslas are like the pineapple of cars.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Like if they can really fuck up the roof of your mouth.
Okay. John Murray, who was the fourth Earl of Dunmore, for people who are keeping count.
My favorite Earl of Dunmore.
He built a hothouse on his estate with a huge stone cupola 14 meters tall in the shape of a pineapple known as the Dunmore pineapple.
Okay.
Which Wikipedia describes as, quote, a folly ranked as the most bizarre building in Scotland.
So basically he had SpongeBob's house on his property.
I don't know anything about SpongeBob.
He lives in a pineapple.
Oh, he does?
He lives in a pineapple under the sea. That's the beginning of the SpongeBob theme song.
Oh, God.
Who lives in a pineapple under
the
sea?
He must be very tender.
Yes.
No wonder he's full of holes. He's probably just falling apart.
Sometimes. Like, I mean, a sponge can like completely dissociate and then reform. And this happens on SpongeBob sometimes.
God, that's cool.
It is cool.
Like, I mean, when humans dissociate, it's never
rarely
good.
Ends well.
Sometimes you don't ever come back together.
I know.
We've been wondering what happened to
Matthew. Do you mean like mentally dissociate or just get pulverized?
Oh, okay. Both.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So I would love to know, like, what... I mean, maybe we'll get to this in a minute, but surely, like, native peoples in South America had all kinds of names for pineapple.
Sure.
But anyway, the English word pineapple was first used to describe what we now call pine cones.
Oh.
And when European...
So, like, they're the apples of the pine tree.
Exactly.
I get it.
And when European explorers came to the Americas and saw what we now call the pineapple, they called it pineapple because it looked like a pine cone.
Oh, wait. And
do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, but potatoes are apples of the earth. Mm-hmm. Right? In French. Like, so
oh, everything is
Apple,
an apple.
Like, apple maybe had a much broader meaning you know, in the past.
Some might call pineapples the apple of the bromeliad.
Some might.
Okay. So the scientific name for these is ananas comosus.
And that's the French word for pineapple, right?
Yeah, and it comes from the Tupi word. Tupi being, I think, a language family in South America.
Okay.
It comes from the Tupi word nanas, which means excellent fruit, which also in French slang means like hot babes.
Nanas?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, check out those pineapples?
Exactly, okay. Exactly. And then comosus, or comosus, means tufted, referring to, like, the stem of it.
And, I mean, I didn't mean that as an anatomical reference. I meant, like, she probably is wealthy enough to have a huge pineapple hothouse on her estate.
Or to have, a Tesla.
Or a Tesla.
Yeah.
Full of pineapples.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's the other thing you would see in Thailand is, like, a pickup truck
with full of pineapples.
Thousands of pineapples in it. It is such a cool thing to see.
Wow. In Greece, I saw pickup trucks full of live goats.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool, too.
I mean, goats are the pineapples of the mountainside. Apples of the mountain. What was the joke? Never mind.
Not sure. Okay. All right. So the pineapple plant can grow to 5 feet tall, Matthew.
I don't know what a pineapple plant looks like.
If you look it up,
I could look it up.
Well, I think that anybody can kind of imagine what it looks like by looking at
I sort of imagined them growing on palm trees, which is not right, is it?
By looking at like the leaves of a pineapple fruit. So imagine a pineapple, right?
This pineapple. I don't have to imagine. It's right in front of me.
Anyway, this thing grew out of the center of a rosette shaped plant.
Okay.
Of leaves. These like waxy kind of fibrous leaves. So it almost, I don't know, the way that like an agave plant or many succulents have this rosette shape to them. Imagine if in the middle, this fruit grows out of the middle.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, but they have I think that they can grow quite tall, obviously, mm-hmm. like 5 feet
five
tall.
Feet, I've
so
heard
I think they can
somewhere.
Have quite a stem on them. Anyway, it's got this like stocky stem that's got these tough waxy leaves. And this is really cool,
okay,
Matthew.
Ready.
Okay. Oh, this is so cool. Okay. So.
Wow.
So the pineapple, like as in the fruit, is what's called a multiple fruit.
Okay. Like a raspberry.
That's not.
No.
I don't know if that's quite right.
Like a.
No.
No.
Can you just wait and let me finish? So the pineapple fruit, so imagine this thing. I'm kind of just imagining it in my mind kind of like an agave, okay?
Okay.
So imagine this pineapple plant.
It makes me really happy that you think I know what an agave looks like.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, it's sort of cactus-like, right?
Yeah, it's like
a bunch of leaves coming out of the ground and then you drink it somehow.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway.
It's probably a good thing that you don't have access to like the things that are in my head at all times.
I'm glad. I've always been glad.
Yeah.
Anyway, so imagine that you've got this plant that's got this kind of like rosette shaped arrangement of these leaves.
So are
right?
the pineapples like upside down on the plant?
No. Hang on.
Okay.
Wait a second. Okay. So right in the middle of this plant, it produces this cluster of flowers. Okay. This cluster of flowers on a single stem, okay?
All right.
Each of these flowers has an ovary, right?
Sure.
Okay? So these ovaries, when they mature, they become what are called berries.
Yeah.
And then they fuse together to make one pineapple.
Oh, okay.
Okay? I think all our listeners should go look up a picture of the pineapple flower.
Okay.
Because it basically looks like the fruit of a pineapple. Imagine that there's a stem.
I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
Okay. It makes these beautiful purple flowers, but it's like many of them are like spirally around this stem. And you can imagine how if each of them has an ovary, those ovaries like coalesce to form a large compact fruit that we call a pineapple. Another example of a multiple fruit is a fig.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
That's like that's a massive inflorescence.
Yes, which becomes an infructescence.
Whoa. Hey, producer Abby, can you put the explicit tag on because of that thing Molly just said?
I I spent a long time reading about inflorescence and different types of inflorescence.
This is something I remember well from botany class.
Reading about infructescence, which is when you get
a bunch of fruits stuck together.
Yes.
Or fruits forming in like a pattern.
So anyway, I think you can imagine this when you look at a pineapple, especially if you look up a picture of the flower.
Yes.
But anyway, a fig is also made the same way.
Oh, okay.
So,
but those are made by wasps, right?
I don't remember what wasps do with the figs.
They pollinate it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the fruit of a pineapple is arranged in two interlocking helices. 8 in one direction and 13 in another, each being a Fibonacci number.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of those in nature.
Oh, my God. It's so cool.
Yes.
I'm super into this.
I don't know. I was going to say, like, can we, like, throw the golden ratio in here somewhere? Is that why I love looking at this pineapple? Is it because of the golden ratio?
Probably not. That's probably not why you love
it. Yeah, probably not.
Okay, so Matthew, do you want to talk about the CAM photosynthesis?
Okay, yes. I saw this. I saw you put this down, and I was like, I know I learned about this at some point, and I have to remind myself. So here's what CAM photosynthesis is. I know everybody, like all of our listeners, whatever they're doing, they've stopped doing it so that they can focus on nothing but this brief lecture on CAM photosynthesis. So it's like, it's night photosynthesis.
Okay.
Right? So photosynthesis has two parts. There's the fixing of the carbon, so taking CO2 from the air and turning it into some kind of organic molecule, and then using that to make energy.
Okay.
Right? So in a typical plant, both of those things happen during the day. You pick up some CO2 from the air, you hand it over to the Calvin cycle to make the energy. Right?
Okay.
But because pineapples grow in hot, dry climates, or like hot climates, they keep their leaf holes, stoma, closed during the day so they don't dry out.
Okay.
But because the leaf holes are closed, the carbon can't get in. Oh. And so they open up those leaf holes at night. They let that sweet carbon dioxide flow in. They turn it into malic acid. And then they wait patiently until daytime when they convert that malic acid back into CO2 and send it over to the Calvin cycle and make that energy, delicious energy.
Nature's so cool.
Yeah.
And malic acid is the same type of acid you find in an apple.
If you went out into the pineapple fields at night, you wouldn't even see this going on, but like it's all happening.
Yes. But if you had like a telescope.
Isn't that beautiful?
A telescope.
If you had a telescope.
You still wouldn't see it happen.
You would see nothing. I mean, you might see like a really close-up pineapple.
If you had some way,
if you had a telescope, you could spy on photosynthesis happening in your neighbor's pineapple house, which is fucking bigger than my pineapple house, and I'm so mad about this. I need to put a new wing on my pineapple house.
Great.
Okay.
Anyway, I was going to say that if we had some mechanism for looking at like the stoma of the leaves while they're still on the living pineapple plant,
we could see this happening. I think we could do that.
Yeah. Anyway, pineapples are primarily pollinated in the wild by hummingbirds.
Is that true?
It's
No, I'm not doubting you. I'm just delighted.
Well, yeah, in the wild, certain wild varieties are also pollinated at night by bats.
Oh.
The pineapples are actually the coolest thing we've ever talked about.
This might be the coolest thing we've ever talked about. Thank you again, listener Laura. Like, now my stereotype about bats, and I realize now this is going to turn out to be an unfair stereotype,
Matthew,
is that bats are drawn to stinky flowers.
Okay.
But there are lots of kinds of bats, and why would bats only like stinky flowers?
Well, it's like saying that dogs are, always drawn to poop. Like, well, they're drawn to poop for sure.
But also lots of other
things. But also lots of other things that actually
basically
smell good.
Anything that's on the ground.
I mean, I don't know anything about bats yet. I've just proposed this. So if we have a bat scientist.
What do you think a bat scientist is called? What's it?
I don't know.
Is it chiropter? Is chiroptera, is that bats? Is it like a chiropterologist? Let's say that's what it is. If you're a chiropterologist, get in touch.
Anyway, cultivated pineapples.
If that's not a thing, but you study bats, also get in touch.
Cultivated pineapples are pollinated by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the most influential pineapple industrialist, which is a phrase I'd never thought of before, was, of course, James Dole, who was an American.
Sure.
who moved to Hawaii in 1899 and started a plantation there. And today, pineapple production in Hawaii has actually declined a lot.
Okay.
But we still think of like any dish that contains pineapple as being Hawaiian.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of like our historical or our industrial linkage of pineapple.
Well, and probably like so because of Trader Vic's. I guess that's more like Polynesian in general, but
yeah.
But when I think of Trader Vic's, which I have never been to, and I don't know if it still exists. I imagine things like a dish with rings of pineapple and like a maraschino cherry, which yes. I could also be thinking of like,
which is also a very American like ham garnish.
It's a very American ham garnish. That might be also what I'm thinking of.
Anyway, today Costa Rica is the largest grower of pineapples.
Okay,
but it's. They use a lot of pesticides, and this is like there's been a lot of political sort of upheaval about this because most of the farm workers in Costa Rica are apparently Nicaraguan migrants, and so they're suffering the effects of this pesticide use. Once again, this is a comedy show.
This pineapple that we've been staring at is a Costa Rican pineapple.
Oh, great.
Now I don't like looking at it as much because you told me that. Take it back.
Yeah, no, but I remember years ago reading somewhere about Costa Rican pineapple production and being like, okay, I won't buy Costa Rican pineapples anymore. But most of the world's pineapples are grown in Costa Rica. However, they're grown in lots of other places too.
I mean, this one is certified sustainably grown, which is probably means nothing. The something I noticed about this pineapple, which first of all, like it's a fruit that comes with like a tag hanging off of it. Mm-hmm. And if I want more information, I can go to fruits.com.
Wow. How much do you think they had to pay for that website?
A lot. Like, do you know how often, like probably once a month, I think to myself, you know, I was there like at the dawn of the internet and I could have bought any domain name that I wanted for $70. And like, why didn't I buy, you know, pineapple.com.
And be a domain squatter?
Yes. Why? Like, I should have been a domain squatter. If I had registered sex.com, I would be that sex.com guy that I think was profiled on an episode of Startup. So,
Matthew, but I feel like if you'd become this kind of like
magnate. I don't know if that's how you pronounce that word.
Tycoon.
If I'd become a tycoon.
We probably wouldn't be doing this show.
No, I would be better than this.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Just by knowing you.
I would have put all my money into a pineapple hothouse. Mm-hmm.
Of course
a Tesla.
You would. You would have the Amster Burton pineapple instead of the Dunmore pineapple.
Exactly. What do you think of... Oh, also, I live in the past. The distant past.
Well, yes, you are the fourth Earl of... What would you want to be the Earl of?
Well, okay, Earl of Sandwich is taken. Mm-hmm. Can I be like the Earl of Tacos?
Yeah, probably. It doesn't have a very good ring to it.
No. Okay, I'll think about this.
Okay.
What do you think of the fresh cut pineapple versus the canned pineapple?
So we're eating fresh cut pineapple like from the produce section at the grocery store, and I think it is far superior to canned
pineapple. It's much better than canned pineapple. Having said that, canned pineapple is not bad.
Yeah. Okay, can we talk about like actually cooking with pineapple?
Yeah, please.
So we talked about it as like a garnish on hams in the U.S. Of course, there's the Hawaiian quote unquote pizza, which has pineapple and Canadian bacon. Of course, in fruit salad, putting a grilled ring on a hamburger.
Yeah, that's good. Like on a teriyaki burger. Have you ever had like a burger with teriyaki sauce and a grilled pineapple ring? Very tasty.
Cool. There are, of course, Thai sour curries that have pineapple in them.
Yep. Also, fried rice with little pineapple chunks is very good.
I haven't had that. Yeah. There is this drink from Sonora, Mexico called tepache, which is a fermented drink that's made from the peel and rind of pineapples.
Oh, I've never heard of that. I wonder what it's like.
I have no idea. I'm really curious about it. And then, of course, So a lot of pineapples are also grown in the Philippines, and so there are a lot of Filipino dishes that involve pineapple. This braised meat dish called afritada.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. That sounds good.
Oh my gosh! And also, sorry, Matthew. I mean, yes. We just have so much information.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm here.
So a particular type of pineapple called Spanish red was once grown like extensively in the Philippines, and the leaves were used.
Spanish red would be such a cool nickname.
Something to strive for. Maybe
not for me.
I feel like it's like when you start, like if you're in a biker gang,
yes.
You could be Spanish red.
Right. You'd have to either speak Spanish or be Spanish.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. But anyway.
I like that a lot.
So the Spanish red pineapple in the Philippines, its leaves were the source of this particular fiber that they used in traditional weaving. And the fabric made from these fibers became like coveted, of course, in Europe.
Yeah.
Of course. Anyway, but the industry in the Philippines.
Oh, so it's like, you know, I'm like the Earl of Crumwich, and like I've got a big pineapple house, but then like the Earl next door is like, oh yeah, I'm wearing pineapple, bitch.
Exactly. That's what it was like. But anyway, in World War II, the industry was kind of destroyed, and it's still like kind of barely revived. But anyway,
that got sad.
Right? But how cool. I mean,
yes,
they would harvest these fibers from the leaves. So cool. Anyway, oh, and here is the thing about, can I tell you about some diseases that affect pineapples?
Please.
Maybe these affect other types of plants too, but
people?
I thought they sounded pretty great as a list. Wilt disease, citrus pink disease, bacterial heart rot, fungal.
Bacterial heart rot. Oh, shit. Now I'm going to be worried about that.
Fungal heart rot, root rot, black rot, butt rot.
Wait, let's pause.
I don't know. I just said
no
butt rot.
I'm no longer worried about bacterial heart rot. I'm now worried about butt rot.
Fruitlet core rot and yellow spot virus.
You know, the thing is, we you read that and I'm laughing at that list of funny names, but if any of our listeners are a pineapple farmer, like now they're sad.
Yeah, this episode is filled with facts and sadness.
But you know what? Get over it.
So Matthew, pineapples are symbols of hospitality. People like to do things like
they are?
Yes.
Okay.
So I first learned about this. So I remember in college reading this book called Plays Well with Others by Alan Gerganis.
Okay. I know the title and the author.
So he also wrote
because
The Oldest Living Confederate Widow Tells All.
Okay, there we go.
But anyway, he wrote this book called Plays Well with Others, which is a... Go on.
I have a question. Have you read Oldest Living Confederate Widow Tells All?
I haven't, but I have it. I've never read it.
Because I know that book title very well. I have no idea whether it's like a story told from the perspective of a Confederate widow or if that's just a metaphor.
I feel dumb because I don't know either, and I've had it on my shelf for probably two decades.
Okay, listeners, if you've read that book, what's it about? Facebook.com/SpilledMilkPodcast.
Well, so I can tell you, Plays Well with Others is an incredible novel set in New York in the like peak of the AIDS crisis.
Okay.
It's told from the perspective of this one guy who's talking about his friend, I believe Robert, who when the book starts is in the hospital, and Robert's family is coming to visit. And I remember that Robert's bed, I think Robert has like a four-poster bed that has pineapples like as the caps to the posters.
Oh, I've seen that. Yes.
Right? And so, I mean, this whole book is so, God, it's so funny and so sad.
Yeah.
It's the first book that ever made me cry.
Oh.
Anyway, but it's... The writing is so incredible, and I just remember him. I remember this friend thinking, the narrator thinking about his friend Robert having these pineapples, you know, at the corners of his bed, you know, like how perfect it was because Robert was quite a sexual creature. And so the pineapples being symbols of hospitality.
Oh, okay.
Like, please come into my bed.
And also they open their leaf holes at night.
Yes. Yes. That too. There is this incredible scene in the book, like very early on, that involves a whole bunch, like a bag full of dildos breaking in a subway car and like dildos just like bouncing everywhere. And it is.
Wow.
It is an incredibly written scene. This book is really, it is written with this incredible, like, density of like detail and voice and humor. It's amazing. It's such a good book. But anyway, that was where I first learned that pineapples were a symbol of hospitality.
I can't stop thinking about dildos bouncing around a subway car. It's the best thing.
It's an amazing image in the book. Anyway, but what I was going to say is, so, you know, you'll see pineapples sometimes as like a finial on a lampshade.
Oh, yeah.
Or like a door knocker.
It's like one of these like images from nature that just as soon as someone saw it, they're like, we're going to put this on everything.
I think. I mean, I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that it was also associated with wealth.
Yeah, probably.
So I wonder if it started out as a symbol of wealth and then somehow like morphed into just sort of a general symbol that came to mean like welcoming or...
That's possible.
Like we can provide for you here or...
Why do you think they put maple leaves on everything in Canada?
Gosh, I can't imagine why.
Okay.
So, Matthew, let's talk about like how to buy pineapple and all that stuff.
I bought this pineapple because, I mean, it looked, they all looked the same. I don't know how to buy pineapple,
Did you smell it?
No, I didn't know you were supposed to.
Oh, yeah. So you smell it. Here, hand me the pineapple. So this was how my dad taught me to buy a pineapple. You smell it. Matthew, I'm here to say this one just smells kind of like the inside of a crate.
Okay.
I don't think we should.
It was probably shipped in a crate.
I don't think we should cut into this one yet.
Okay, but I don't think pineapples ripen off the tree.
It's true. Well, then let's cut into it.
Okay. Will you do it? Because I don't know how.
I don't really want to get up. Can we cut into it later? How about I describe it right now?
Okay.
So here's the thing with pineapple. You got to lop off the leafy top.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can use that part as a garnish.
Yes.
Because like I've had like a Thai fried rice. I've had Thai fried rice served in a hollowed out pineapple, but I've also, which is kind of silly. But
now you're just bragging.
But I've had it like, you know, served like on a plate, but then garnished with the lopped off pineapple top.
So yeah, I think that if you really want to be classy, you garnish
gotta
with your lopped off top. But anyway, I always lop off the top and I lop off the bottom. So I've got this cylinder that I can stand on a cutting board. And then you've got to cut off the rind.
Yeah.
You kind of just do this by eye and you get a feel for it. If you don't cut enough of the rind, if you don't cut enough thickness of the rind off, you'll see that you're leaving behind kind of these little brown, seedy type things. So anyway, you got to cut off the rind all the way around. Well, then you're left with this cylinder of what looks like a big, just mass of pineapple meat. However, in the middle is this woody core.
Right.
So there are a couple different strategies for this. You can like cut down the sides around the core.
Like this is how I do a parsnip.
Yes, exactly. You can do that. Or sometimes
a parsnip.
Sometimes I have also just cut straight down the middle, so I wind up with like a eastern and western hemisphere of the pineapple.
Yep,
and then
that's what they're called.
Lay it down on the cut side and cut it into three long wedge strips, and then cut the core out of
the
middle
wedge one?
Strips.
Wait, a wedge? Oh yeah, okay.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, remember when we had our listeners write in with what they thought a raclette griddle thing looked like? Why don't you guys write in with what you think I just said?
I don't know. I think this time it's going to turn out everyone knows exactly what you meant except me.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Anyway, so, you know, dealing with a pineapple is quite easy, actually. It's just sort of annoying because it feels like you're cutting off so much stuff.
I mean, dealing with the geopolitical effects of pineapple colonialism is not as easy.
No, it's not. That's never going to get easier.
Okay, so how often do you buy a whole pineapple? Are you more likely to buy a whole pineapple than a cut-up pineapple? It's certainly cheaper.
I feel like the only time I ever buy a whole pineapple is when, for
instance... To mount on your bedpost to send a
exactly,
message.
Exactly, when I'm courting someone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I do is... I turn the heat way up in my house and just leave a bunch of pineapples around so people think that they're stepping into a pineapple hothouse.
Wow. Wow. That's a real show-off move.
Works every time.
There. Big show-off move. No, I would say I buy a pineapple maybe once a year.
Mm-hmm.
When there are
like on a particular day?
When there are like organic pineapples like on sale
or
something. You know, I was recently teaching this workshop in Santa Fe. And I went to the grocery store the night that I arrived there to buy like some big bottles of water to just have with me. And for some reason, I was really craving pineapple. And so I bought like a container in the produce section of cut up pineapple and ate it the next couple mornings. It was so delicious.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the best. It's one of the most consistently good things you will find in the like prepared produce section.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a lot of qualifiers.
Wow, that was.
So something that wife of the show, Lori, reminded me of last night is that there are several pineapple shake episodes in our favorite milkshake book, Thoroughly Modern Milkshakes by Adam Reed. So there's the pineapple, ginger, and lime shake. How could that be bad? There's the pineapple Foster shake. And there's a couple of Mexican and Latin American-inspired pineapple drinks, including the pineapple licuado, which is like a – licuado is like kind of like agua fresca, I guess. It is just – it's like – but with ice. So it is made with nothing but ice, water, lime juice, pineapple chunks, and a little bit of sugar blended up.
Mm.
And he says definitely use the cut fresh pineapple.
So when I was coming back from Santa Fe, I my flight was delayed and I had to stay overnight at this airport hotel in Phoenix.
Okay.
But I got to eat their free,
breakfast buffet
the next morning.
Yes.
Which was really exciting. And anyway, they had, under a sneeze guard, three bowls of cut up fruit.
Under the Tuscan sneeze guard.
They had three different bowls of cut up fruit. One was pineapple, one was cantaloupe, and one was honeydew. Part of what I think is really nice about pineapple is you can always tell when it is fresh or when it is canned.
Absolutely.
Like
immediately.
They do not look the same.
No, and the canned gets sort of translucent.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was freshly cut up pineapple.
Yes.
And man, that was... You know, it was all worth it, that extra night in Phoenix.
Did you go to any of the Chris Bianco properties?
No, I ate a Cobb salad in the hotel bar at 11:30 p.m.
Live it up.
Yeah, drank a Negro Modelo with it. God, it was delicious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else? Is there more to the pineapple story?
Do you ever?
Hopefully not much more.
I mean, do you ever?
We're way out of time.
Do you ever cook with it? Do you ever?
Not so much. I mean, I have made fried rice with pineapple, and I've made, you know what? I actually like a pepperoni and pineapple pizza better than a Hawaiian pizza.
I've never had a pepperoni and pineapple.
One time, the only time I've ever had a mystical experience in my life is one time many, many years ago, I was saying to probably wife of the show, Lori, you know, I love getting a slice at Pagliacci in Seattle, and I do it all the time. But, you know, I wish they would sometimes put out pepperoni and pineapple as a slice. Like, I know no one really likes pepperoni and pineapple but me, but, like, that would be so cool. The next day, I go into the Pagliacci, and what do I find? Pepperoni and pineapple, which I know they have never put on the slice bar before because I'd been going there a couple times a week for years.
Wow. I'm so happy for you, Matthew.
I mean, I don't know if I ever saw it again. It was really weird.
Wow. I feel like something cosmic was revealed to you.
I think so. It definitely wasn't a total coincidence.
Definitely not.
For pizza, I kind of prefer canned pineapple, I think.
I don't know if I've actually ever eaten pineapple on a pizza.
Really?
I am a real pizza purist. But at the same time, I'm just an asshole because I've just never tried it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Hawaiian is a pure pizza.
I think you're right. I think that it has earned the right to stick around.
I think it's a clean food.
Oh, God. Well, I think that's the cue for us to...
Cool.
Close this episode.
You can find us online at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast and spilledmilkpodcast.com. I think we asked you to weigh in on a couple of things. What does it look like when Molly cuts up a pineapple and who was the fifth Earl of Chumberwelly or something?
What should Matthew be the Earl of?
What should I be the Earl of?
Yeah.
That is a very good question. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Let's crowdsource it. It's
been too long since we've given me a fake title. And our producer is Abby Circatella. You can find us on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast. Please leave us a review wherever you listen to the show. What else have you got for the people?
Nothing. I left it all on the agenda.
All right. Thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. I'm the organist.
Matthew, I'm not going home with you. Jeez, stop trying.
I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
Wait, you're already in my home.
This is awkward.
So then are you going to cut up the pineapple during the episode?
I guess. Okay.
I mean, you don't have to. We could just talk about it.
Okay.
All right.